Good morning. I'm going to read from John chapter 10 and the first 21 verses. Very famous passage, and we're going to be looking at it this morning. John chapter 10 from verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, we've been talking or reading about sheep and wolves and so on and shepherds, so I just... No. That's what should have come up. The wolf dressed as a shepherd trying to lead people astray, and we'll be talking about that later on. But in this passage that I've just read, we have two of the I am sayings of Jesus. I am the gate, or I am the door, or I am the good, and I am the good shepherd. And it's a famous passage, one particularly, I am the good shepherd. Dave's been talking about the shepherd this morning. And it's a passage that perhaps we know reasonably well. But perhaps we don't realize that it actually, Jesus says these two things in the middle of a dispute with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders, the religious leaders of the day. If you look back in chapter 9, Jesus has healed a man who was born blind. And he heals him. The problem is, of course, as Jesus seemed to do quite often, he healed on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, not too happy about this. They thought this was wrong. Partly because the way Jesus had healed was he'd made mud. So as far as they were concerned, Jesus was working. By making mud and putting it on the blind man's eyes, that was work. And according to them, anyway, this was illegal. It was wrong. It broke the law of God. And the Pharisees found this man and talked to him or interrogated him more. And they say, this man cannot be from God because he's broken the Sabbath. And so they talked to him, and the man says, look, I don't know about him. All I know is I was born blind and now I can see. And the dispute goes on, and he gets into an argument with them. And eventually, I mean, they even talk to his parents, say, is this your son? Because they don't actually believe that it could have happened. So they're saying, is this your son? And they say, yes. They're scared of the Pharisees, so they just sort of try and fudge their way through it. But the man who's born blind, but now can see, says, look, it's remarkable. In verse 30, it says, the man answers, it's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And the Pharisees turn to him and say, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they throw him out of the synagogue, essentially saying, you're no longer part of God's kingdom. We know what we're doing. You don't. You're out. And by throwing him out of the synagogue, they were saying, you're not one of us. You've renounced the faith. Jesus finds the man and begins talking with him. Some Pharisees overhear what he's saying, and Jesus starts this talk with them. And that's where it begins at chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep by the gate, but it climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. And in this passage where Jesus is talking about thieves and robbers and wolves and all of that, in one sense or in part, he's talking about these Pharisees. He's having, if you like, a little dig at them and saying, look, you're leading people astray. You're not the person. You're not the shepherds that you were meant to be to shepherd God's people. And so the first thing he says to them really is, you know, I am the gate. I am the way to get into the sheep pen. You're trying to say there's all these other things, there's legal things, you must keep the Sabbath, you must do this, you must do that. Actually, no, you've got to come by me. In some translations, it might call it the door, but Jesus is saying, I am the door to salvation. And Jesus uses here a familiar illustration of the sheepfold. And here you have what a sheepfold would have looked like, an enclosed space. And actually, the picture's not great, but you can just about see in the gate, there is a shepherd there. So the sheep can't get out, but nobody can get in. And it's the encompassing barrier of rocks with an opening for a door. And even at night, that looks like the day, but even at night, the shepherd would lie across the opening. And by saying that he's the gate, by saying that he's the door, Jesus is saying two things. The first thing he's saying is, I protect my sheep. Those in the sheep pen, they're mine. And I will protect them. By lying across the door, by being the gate, he is protecting his own. He says, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And as Christians, those who are part of God's sheepfold, part in that sheep pen, God protects us. God looks after us. God leads us to those good pastures. And we've been praying for Tanya and John and the family this morning. They've gone to somewhere new. But Jesus is still that door, that one who's protecting them. He's still that good shepherd. We'll talk about the good shepherd in a few moments' time. But as we pray for them, God, we can know that God's promises are true, that he will protect them. Even though they may feel on their own, they've got no friends, they're in a strange culture, and all the things that Wendy asked us to pray for this morning. Yet we can know for them and for us that we are protected. They are protected. They are safe with God. And God will lead them to find good pastures. But the second thing he's saying as the door is that he is the way to salvation. Jesus said later on in John's gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's similar here. The door to salvation. The only way in. And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to knowing God, there are no alternatives. There's no other way. There is no other door. The Pharisees were trying to say, you've got to keep the law. And they continued to say it afterwards. They'd been saying it for years. You know, Sabbath. You've got to keep the Sabbath. You can't make mud. You can't do this. You can't do that. You've got to do these other things. And they'd added all the things to the Ten Commandments and said, this is the way of salvation. And Jesus comes and says, no, the door, the gate, the way to salvation is through me. You can't get into the sheep pen any other way. And anybody who tries is a thief and a robber. There is no other way for us to get to heaven except through Jesus, who is a doorway to God, the Heavenly Father. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the way to salvation, if you've never, as it were, gone through Jesus, if you've never come to him, he is the only way. We like in life to have a lots of alternatives, don't we? Well, we could do this, we could do that, we could go that way. But actually, there is only one way. Through Jesus, the door. Through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And maybe you've heard this story before, but in America, following the Civil War, a defeated, dejected Confederate soldier was sitting outside the grounds of the White House, and a young boy approached him and inquired why he was so sad. And the soldier related how he had repeatedly tried to see President Lincoln to tell him why he was unjustly deprived of certain lands in the South following the war. But each time this man had tried to get to see President Lincoln, guards crossed their bayoneted guns in front of the door and turned him away. The boy said to him, "Don't worry, just follow me, come with me." And as they approached the guarded entrance, the soldiers came to attention, stepped back and opened the door for the boy. He proceeded to the library where President Lincoln was, and the boy introduced the soldier to his father. That boy was Tad Lincoln. The soldier had gained a meeting with the president through the president's son. And in the same way, it is only through Jesus, God's only son, that we have access to God, that we can get to him, our wonderful Heavenly Father. And again, if you're here this morning, and you don't know that you've never met with Jesus, he is the only way to get to God, the Heavenly Father. So we have the door, the one who protects us, who stands in the doorway and says, no one can get through. He protects us from thieves and from robbers, from wolves, from lions. But he's also the one through whom the sheep can get into the sheepfold, the only way to safety. So Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door. He also says, I am the good shepherd. And shepherds always lead their sheep to safety. And of course, if you know your Bibles, there's a stark contrast here between the worthless shepherds of Israel. Look in Ezekiel 34, where God condemns the shepherds, the priests, the people who were meant to be leading his people, and they had let him down. They were going the wrong way. And here's stark contrast between the good shepherd. And in Ezekiel 34, he says he's going to send a shepherd who will shepherd his people properly. And in this passage, we see Jesus saying that God himself has come to shepherd his sheep. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. If Jesus is a good shepherd, well, we obviously are the sheep. Actually, if you think about it, that's not complimentary, really. Because sheep are naive, vulnerable, stupid, and easily to scare. So we're all sheep. So in one sense, that's not a compliment. But Jesus says, yes, I'm that good shepherd. I will lead you. You perhaps heard it before that shepherds don't, in this country, well, they perhaps use sheepdogs in this country. But actually, the shepherd in those times would lead, he would be in front, leading his sheep to both food and water. Not from behind, but in front. But also, they will recognize his voice. There's a story, as I prepared, I read this story about three shepherds. They're talking on the hillside, and all their sheep are mingled together. And the shepherds continue their conversation, but they come to the end of their conversation. And they go off in their separate direction. One shepherd called for his sheep to follow him. And as he walked away, a certain number of sheep began to follow him. Another shepherd called his sheep, and they began to follow him. And the third shepherd called their sheep, and they began to follow him. And the sheep that had been mingled together, we wouldn't have known the difference, but they separated. And they followed their shepherd. Why? Because they recognized his voice. And actually, that cartoon that I showed at the beginning about a wolf dressed as a shepherd, actually, It's a load of rubbish because obviously wolves wouldn't do that. But, well, they might. But actually, it couldn't happen. Even if it could happen, it couldn't happen because the sheep would not recognize. It's not about what they look like. It's about the voice. It's about the shepherd using his own voice and the sheep recognizing his voice. And that's why, as Christians, it is so important that we begin to spend time with God, because how do you get to recognize someone's voice? By spending time with him. Otherwise, you don't know. And as you begin to spend time with God, you recognize his voice, and you recognize, or you don't recognize, the voice of a stranger or a hired hand. You begin to recognize what is false and what is true and what is right. And you recognize Jesus' voice when he calls you, when he speaks to you. And when he calls you to follow him, you recognize his voice. And of course, as we speak about the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23 instantly comes to mind. That lovely Psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we have that wonderful imagery of sheep who have their fill. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Now, I don't know anything about sheep, so what I'm about to tell you, I take basically from Google, really. Because apparently sheep will not lie down in grass until they have eaten their fill. They have to be full. And that is why Jesus is our good shepherd. Because he makes it so that we can lie down in green pastures. Because he has satisfied our soul. He's given us everything we need. And we can go and we can lie down in peace and safety and security. As his sheep, as a sheep of his pasture, he's given us all that we need to satisfy our souls. Apparently also, sheep don't like swift moving water. They won't drink from swift moving water because it scares them. And that is why Jesus, as our good shepherd, leads us beside the still waters, so that again we can drink and be satisfied and have our thirst satisfied. I forgot the word anyway. So that we are no longer quenched. That's the word I'm looking for. That's why I have a wife, to tell me these things. Our thirst is quenched because we can drink and not be scared. He leads us beside the still waters. And he guides us in paths of righteousness. He guides us down the right paths. He guides me in paths of righteousness. He restores our soul. He takes us down the right path, not the wrong path, to safety and security. And even though we have to face death, even though when death comes and we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, where all the fears associated with it would otherwise threaten, intimidate, and impair our judgment, we can know, even at the worst time, that we are safe in the Good Shepherd's arms, that he leads us, even then, to safety and security in the arms of God. His rod and his staff, they keep us from falling over the edge. You know, the shepherd's crook, when it's bent, and they could pull the sheep back from the edge of the cliff. So even when we get towards danger as sheep, which we often will do, as our shepherd, he will pull us back and keep us from falling off a cliff, keep us from danger. And in much the same way, Jesus keeps us from falling because of the grace and the assurance of salvation that he extends to all who believe in him. It's a beautiful psalm. And Jesus is that shepherd. That's why it's such a lovely psalm. That's why we all like it. Because it brings us comfort. We know that in the arms of Jesus, when Jesus is leading us, we are safe. And even in the presence of enemies, he prepares a table and satisfies us. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows. We know the joy of God. And ultimately, we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the door, he's the way to salvation, but he's that good shepherd. who will protect us and keep us. But finally, he's also the Saviour. He says, I will give up my life. No one takes it from me. I give it up. I give it up for the sheep, so that when wolves and lions and all the dangers around us, he's there and he rescues us. And he calls us and he brings us to that abundant life, that full life. And he brings us to that, the life everlasting. And Jesus is contrasting himself to the religious leaders of his day. Those who came before him, those who will come after him, who were trying their best, perhaps not willingly, not knowingly, but to keep the people out of heaven. He says, what sorrow awaits you experts in religious law? You remove the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Jesus says, come to me, and I will take you into that sheep pen, and you'll be safe. Jesus laid down his life for each one of us, voluntarily, to rescue us from the dangers that are around. Apparently, D.L. Moody was talking to a president of a colliery about his soul's salvation. And the man thought, I can't believe this because it's too free. There's nothing I have to do. You ask me to do nothing except to accept Christ in order to obtain salvation. It's too cheap. It should cost more than that. And D.L. Moody said to him, well, okay, you're the president of the colliery. Did you go down the shaft today? The man said, yeah, I did. And he said, how did you do that? And he says, well, I pushed a button, the lift came up, I pushed another button, and I went down. So all you did was push a button. Yes, the president said. The coal company spent thousands of pounds to sink the shaft and construct the lift. All I had to do was push a button. D.L. Moody said, exactly. Salvation has been won at a tremendous price. It's the costliest thing in the world. But to you, it's free because of what God has done by his son, Jesus. Jesus is that Saviour, the one who rescues us, the one who willingly laid down his life for you and me so that through him we could know that life. Have that full life, that abundant life, the life that he wants to give us, that safe life in the sheep pen, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd and we can lie down in peace and safety, we can eat our fill and know that God loves us and is looking out for us and is protecting us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the gate, the door, through whom we can have that salvation, that we can get into the sheep pen. Thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you look after us and you protect us. Help us more and more to recognize your voice, to know when you are speaking, to listen and to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.